Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Tal Shoham endured a harrowing 505 days in captivity under Hamas. For over 200 days, he lived in a cramped underground shaft. He faced starvation, illness, beating, and the heartbreaking uncertainty of his family's fate. And yet he survived through resilience, through hope, through human connection. Tal, thank you for joining us today and for sharing your incredible story. I always feel a bit guilty about talking to somebody like yourself because I'm worried that it takes you back to a very, very hard place. Does it do that, or does it help you to speak about what you endured?
Yeah, good morning, and thank you for having me. The reality is that I am one leg with my family inside Israel, recovering together, trying to feel normal as a family together. And the other leg is deep in the tunnel with my new brothers, not by blood, but by shared faith, Eviatar David and Guy Gilboa Dalal, which are still there inside the tunnel, 20 or 30 meters underground, and the rest of the hostages that are still there. So it's not because of you, it's just the way it is now until everyone will be home.
Let's just talk about, walk us back through the moment at Kibbutz Be'eri when the militants, when Hamas, the terrorists, breached the area. What was happening? What were you thinking? What was going through your mind at that time?
So never before I thought that it's even possible that so many terrorists will infiltrate in the kibbutz or the south villages, which were really peaceful villages. We grew up on the idea of peace. People preached and worked to make peace a living reality. And never before I thought that this kind of malicious and evil attack would be possible. We woke up to the biggest missile attack on the south until then. And I thought to myself that it's just another attack like we suffered before regularly. You know, as a person that grew up in this area, for the last 20 years, we suffer from missile attacks from Hamas and from the Islamic Jihad every few weeks. But then it developed to something else, and I could not grasp what is going on.
It's impossible to realize the magnitude of what was happening.
Yeah. Absolutely. It took me a few days to understand the magnitude of it and the actual evil that the Hamas terrorists unleashed on our villages and on on how many people they murdered that day.
At this stage, when you were taken into Gaza, what did you know about where your family was?
I didn't know much. They took me first from the safe room we were tried to hide in. And for the first 50 days, I just needed to accept the possibility that they were also murdered that day, but also to hold the hope that they were released or maybe were taken hostage as me. And only on the 50th day, I received a letter from my wife describing they were kidnapped and they survived it and they found great strength to deal with it, including my two children, which were only 8 and 3 years old at the time, and they were about to be released. So on the 50th day, I received the information that they are back home. On that day,
it must have changed everything in terms of your fight to survive at that point.
Yeah, absolutely. On that moment, I understood that my family is safe, and now I need to battle my own survival, not only physically, but also internally, psychologically, emotionally. So if I would survive it, my children will have a father to come back to, and my wife will have a husband. And in a sense, it released me from trying to take in care for them, although I didn't had any option to do so. But
of course,
to fight to my own survival and balance.
You speak about it in some of the things I've read about what you say in terms of the mental ability to try and almost protect your mind from the worst scenarios or different scenarios which become tormenting. During this time, however, what information did you know? I know the first while you were in above ground, and then they moved you to a tunnel. During the time above ground, did you have a sense of the news, of media, of what was happening outside of your captivity?
So above ground, I received access to a radio from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to persuade them to give me the opportunity to listen so I can tell them what is going on in the Israeli side. So I knew that there are a process in Israel for our release. And I knew a few times that there are talks for a deal between Israel and the mediators. And also some of the developments in Israel and surround Israel with Hezbollah and with Iran. So I was quite informed that time.
Interesting.
But inside the tunnel, we didn't have anything except what the terrorists told us, which most of it was a lie, except telling us about the protests in Israel on
Saturday. Of course.
Or other
days. Yes. And in fact, you mentioned that as well, that the policy of starving the hostages was in order to put more pressure on Netanyahu. And when they realized that it didn't work necessarily, they started feeding you. But that was literally 2 weeks into, towards the end of your captivity. That way in which you were treated almost like it's a complete object towards their goal. So dehumanizing. How did you cope with that?
Yeah, so it was clear to me and to us as the group with Vital and Guy that we are tools and just play like a playboard for their political fight and reason. But I could not make sense of why they are so cruel and vicious to us, although their own religion telling them to treat well the hostages or the prisoners in their terms. And time after time, I could not understand why they are acting in such a subhuman way to us, and starving us, beating us, trying to find any way psychologically, emotionally, or physically to inflict us with pain and suffer.
Did you ever see a human side to them? Was there ever any form of, I'm going to say the word, the Yiddish word Rachmanis, a little bit of sympathy for what you were enduring, or in that over 500 days, was that never visible to you?
Yeah, so there wasn't any sympathy to the fact that they kidnapped us or murdered so many people in Israel. They grew up on pure hatred to Jews and to Israelis. But there were some cases of kindness, like the letter they brought me.
Yes,
from my wife Adi, and clothes that we received from one of them that had much more religious feelings, Islamic religious feelings, and he felt complied to bring us clothes in the winter. But most of them are just like clones of one another, preaching the death for Jews and the takeover of all Israel and annihilate the Israeli state and the Jews inside it.
It's just, and in terms of regular Gazans, did you have any contact? Obviously not when you were in the tunnel, but during that first period. And what was your experience there, if you did?
So I encountered the general public or the Gazans only on October 7th, and they were cheering for Hamas. They tried to beat me in a kind of bizarre parade they did with me on a bicycle. They went in the main street of Gaza shouting, "We caught a Jewish soldier pig." Of course, I was 38, I wasn't a soldier.
Right, of course.
And people were cheering and tried to beat me with sticks and fists. And only later I discovered that the Gazians, the uninvolved, in quotes, entered the villages in Israel and looted the houses and stealed corpses of Israelis that Hamas murdered, including UNRWA members and other UN staff. And it's really hard to speak about uninvolved Gazians when they were part of it. I don't know about it now after 2 years of the war, but they weren't so uninvolved.
Yeah, and I think we all want to believe a different reality, but it's the evidence, unfortunately, doesn't point. It doesn't bear that. How do you and I'm very aware of time. I know that you've got to go in the next 5 minutes, but you've come back to your family. You are advocating for the hostages. But there's a tremendous amount of care that you need and your family needs to move forward in this. How are you can never be the same person that you were on October 6th. What do you hope to not hold on to, but how do you hope to move forward integrating this experience into your life, but while not making it something that you remain stuck at? How do you do that? Is it possible?
Yeah, so my family recovery is really important. My wife and my two children were kidnapped also, and together with my mother-in-law and my wife's aunt and daughter. And we all need to find a way to recover. But with that, I'm feeling that I need to do everything in my power and effort to help other hostages. You know, we've been in South Africa.
I was going to ask you about your trip to South Africa. Did that help? Does that help with healing?
Yeah. So it's the first time we went to a vacation, only our core family.
Right.
And it was really, really good for the children and for the trust that they give in the fact that I will stay at home and won't leave or will be taken again. But with that, Hamas published their psychological warfare video, malicious and evil video of Aviatar David, which was tarred to the extent of the Holocaust photos, you know, that we saw as children. And I needed to react to that and to do interviews and to speak about the lie that Hamas is trying to persuade the public and the international media. And I needed to do it whilst I'm with my family and trying to give my children normality in it. So it's really both of the sides, both of these stick together. And I feel that if the hostages won't come back, I won't be able to truly recover from what happened.
That's very, very difficult, because your experience there with as you've called them, your brothers, very much becomes part of who you are. It says, I realize it is 8:50, which is when you said to us that you would need to go. Thank you for having the courage to speak out. Thank you for coming to South Africa to share your story, which you did, and sending you just lots of love and healing and hope and just the firm belief that everything will be better. Please God, the rest of the remaining hostages will be returned to Israel, to their families, so that they can allow that process for them and for you as well. Incredible. That was Tal Shoham, former hostage, sharing some of his experience with us, which, as I said, is, I always feel a bit guilty, because I just can't imagine what it must be like to keep going back into those stories over and over again. And that, to me, is the courage is absolutely tremendous. I believe that, I think, Ori Levy actually is in South Africa as well. I know that he is speaking in Johannesburg on Sunday night, if anybody's interested in that, to continue hearing more about from the hostages. And never, never easy to do, but I think we do have to know that part of the healing process is telling the story and telling it to people who empathize, who sympathize, and who to some extent can feel their pain. So if you are interested in that, look out for it and make a booking.